In daily life, most of the time we're not really there. Your body's there, but your mind is somewhere else. You're lost in the past. Memories of the past. Regrets, suffering that happened in the past. You're lost in anxiety, in fear about the future. You're lost in your projects, your anger. You're not with yourself. So an in-breath in mindfulness brings the mind back to the body. And we can do that in just a few seconds. 3-4 seconds are enough to bring the mind back to the body. And when the mind and body are reunited, you're there, established in the here and the now. That's already a miracle. You're there, you're present. Body and mind in the moment. So this in-breath in mindfulness brings your mind back to your body and makes you available for life, available to life. And now you can get in touch with life. The Buddha said, the past is no longer here. The future has not yet come. There is only one moment to be in touch with life. That's the present moment. Only one moment when life is available. So every in-breath and out-breath brings you back to the present moment to be in touch with life. When body and mind are together, then you're really alive. You're present, you're alive. And that's the challenge of the exercise that we do in 3 or 4 seconds. With your in-breath, you become fully present, fully alive, because your mind is with your body. And when mind and body are together, then you're really alive. There are people who are alive, but they don't feel it. They don't know it. They're lost. Their minds are lost in their worries, in their anger, the past, the future. We should help those people to resurrect themselves from that kind of living death. Resurrection. How can we perform resurrection? One in-breath in mindfulness can be enough to bring us back to life. For a person walking around like a walking corpse can come back to life. That's why the Buddha suggested this first exercise for us. Breathing in, I know this is my in-breath. Breathing out, I know I'm breathing out. That gives us freedom, gives us life. We're here to live deeply each moment of our daily life. I know. Teachers who teach their students to breathe like this. And I think that children should also be able to teach their children how to breathe like this. What we have just learned with the children this morning, all of us can do it and share it. We can get a bell, and the family can arrange to breathe together. We can bring peace, harmony, life, and joy by listening to the bell. In Upper Hamlet, whenever we hear the bell, we always stop to breathe. Not only the temple bell, we also stop for other kinds of bells. So the first exercise proposed by the Buddha that you can put into practice right away, breathing in, I enjoy this in-breath. This is not hard labor. It's not a chore. This is a joy to breathe. You're driving your car. You can enjoy your breathing. You're sitting in the train. You can do the same thing. You are watering your vegetable garden. You can enjoy your in-breath and your out-breath. We should practice what the Buddha suggested. The second exercise proposed by the Buddha, breathing in, I stay with my in-breath from the beginning all the way to the end. Breathing in, breathing out, I stay with my out-breath all the way from the beginning to the end. The second exercise is following your in-breath, all the whole length of the in-breath. The in-breath may last 3, 4, 5 seconds, and during those 3, 4, 5 seconds, you are totally with the in-breath. There's no interruption in your attention. Mindfulness is continuous. There's concentration. It strengthens your mindfulness and your concentration when you don't get carried away by thoughts that arise, intervening, because you're completely with your in-breath from the beginning all the way to the end, 3, 4, 5, 10 seconds. The quality of concentration, the quality of mindfulness is high. And it does you a lot of good. So the first exercise is identifying the in-breath and the out-breath, and the second one is following your in-breath and your out-breath all the way from the beginning to the end. So we can call the first exercise identification. Identification. Of the in-breath and the out-breath. And the second exercise is the following. Staying with. Accompanying, following your in-breath and your out-breath all the way from the beginning to the end. And your your mindfulness and your concentration become more and more vigorous. Because mindfulness is an energy that allows you to recognize what's happening. Breathing in, I'm aware of the presence of this flower. I'm aware of the presence, the existence of this flower. I'm conscious of it. This is the energy of mindfulness represented by a circle. Mindfulness. Smriti is the word in Sanskrit. It's spelled S-M-R-T-I. S-M-R-T-I. Smriti. And here's how we write it in Chinese. If we analyze the Chinese character, the upper portion of that character means the present moment. And the lower part of the character means, represents the mind. So the mind coming back to the present moment. You bring your mind into the present moment. So mindfulness is to come into the present moment with our mind in the moment. And mindfulness as energy carries within it another kind of energy called concentration. If you are very mindful on something, then you are of something, then you are very concentrated on that thing. So in mindfulness, there is the seed, the sprout of the energy of concentration. In Sanskrit, concentration is called samadhi, S-A-M-A-D-H-I, S-A-M-A-D-H-I, concentration. When we are very mindful of something, there is concentration. And here's the character in Chinese for concentration. So mindfulness is the carrier, the bearer of concentration. And so when you practice this second exercise of breathing, mindful breathing, you allow concentration to grow, to increase. Mindfulness becomes concentration. A strong, wonderful concentration can always help us make a breakthrough into reality. And that brings us insight. We begin to see things, to see deeply what's there. Let's suppose that you are aware of this flower, mindful of this flower. You recognize the presence of the flower, and as you maintain that mindfulness, you become more and more concentrated on the flower. And as you are concentrated on the flower, you will discover many things. You will discover that this flower belongs to the kingdom of God. It's already an insight that can give you a lot of happiness. You know there is a cloud floating inside that flower. We don't have to be a poet to see a cloud floating in the flower. We know very well that without clouds, there can be no rain, and a flower could not grow. So for sure, there's a cloud in that flower. That is insight. And that breakthrough is made of concentration. We direct our attention, our concentration on the flower. We will discover many things. We see the sun in it. We know that without the sun, nothing can grow. We see the earth. We see the gardener. And we also see our own consciousness, our own mind, in the flower. The flower is, first of all, an image made in our brain, our mind, our eyes, our body. We can see everything in the flower, the whole cosmos. And that insight teaches us and frees us from ignorance. That insight is called, in Sanskrit, prajna. P-R-A-J-N-A. P-R-A-J-N-A. And here's the Chinese character. In Buddhism, we speak of salvation, of liberation, in terms of insight. With mindfulness, we nourish concentration, and with an excellent concentration, we will be able to make a breakthrough into reality. We will be able to acquire knowledge, understanding, insight. And that insight liberates us from fear, from suffering, from anxiety. That is prajna, wisdom, awakening, enlightenment. In Buddhism, we do not speak so much of grace, salvation, liberation. In Buddhism, are made of knowing, wisdom, awakening, prajna. That's why in Buddhism, It is the practice of these three energies that is fundamental: mindfulness, concentration, and insight. We live and practice in such a way that we can live in each moment the energy of mindfulness. We live deeply to have concentration, which becomes stronger and stronger. And with mindfulness and concentration, we will be able to acquire the wisdom, the awakening, the insight that will liberate us from fear and anger. These are three kinds of energies that we can generate in our practice. If you are from a Christian background, you can consider wisdom, awakening, insight as a kind of grace. It's a kind of grace, you can say. And this grace liberates us, saves us . That's why we can say the energy of mindfulness, the energy of concentration, the energy of insight, awakening, these are equivalent to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the energy of God. And we, practitioners of meditation, we can generate this energy with our practice. We can use our body, our breathing in and out, to be able to generate the energy of mindfulness, of concentration, and of awakening. The energy of God available in us, we can bring it forth. So the energy of God is in me. It's not just a notion, an image, it's the reality, truth. Because you belong to the kingdom of God. You have God in every cell of your body. Concentration, mindfulness, and awakening comes from inside of you. It doesn't come from someplace outside. as you look at the flower, you know for yourself that the kingdom of God is available and the wonders of life are there. We just need to know how to take advantage of that, how to benefit. We shouldn't waste minutes and hours and entire days. With this simple practice, the practice of mindful breathing, the practice of walking in mindfulness, we can generate the energy of mindfulness, of concentration. We can get in touch with the wonders of life. We can enjoy. And that has a nourishing and healing effect. And we don't need to discuss and argue about whether or not God exists. And regarding birth and death, here's what I have found. There is no birth without death. There is no life without death. Just as there's no above without the below. If the above is there, the below has to be there. Life and death is the same. We need death for life to be possible. We need the right for the left to be possible. And every cell of our body, in our physical body, there are cells dying in every moment, and those deaths are indispensable. They're necessary because without that, the new cells cannot be born. And our body cannot renew itself. Life becomes impossible without death. Why are you afraid of death? You're living a birth and a death in every moment. Every moment of daily life, we are experiencing birth and death. There is no life without death. There is no death without life, without birth. Let us try to think, to see things in this way. In a non-dualistic way. You fear death, right? Death is right here in every moment. You're living your death in every moment, so why should you be afraid? You think that now this is life and death is something later on. That's a wrong perception. That's a wrong view. Life is not possible without death. The lotus cannot be there without mud. There is mud, and that's why the lotus is possible. Death is happening now. That's how life is possible, too. In this moment, death is happening. Death is indispensable. Every one of us experiences death several times every day, every second, every millisecond. Life and death are going on. We're living our life and our death every moment. Why should we be afraid of that death that is waiting for us later on? That doesn't even exist. Because death is impossible without life. We need to train ourselves to see things in this way. When we can think like this, we can get out of our fear. And every step you make, every breath you take, puts you in touch with reality. Life and death are a pair that goes together, always in tandem, in every moment. We don't need to be afraid. Death doesn't exist somewhere in the future. Death is now. Because we need death for life to be possible. Sorry, Ty's talking so softly, I can't hear him now. He's talking about heat. He's talking about the kingdom and the flower. If the flower is there, the kingdom is there. It's the flower that helps us to recognize the kingdom of God. If we can see the kingdom in the flower, that's good, because that means now you really know how to recognize the kingdom. You are now qualified to recognize happiness. The practice offers us the kingdom, happiness, here and now. Death is now or never. The same with happiness. I wrote a calligraphy. The kingdom is now or never. That's my practice. I'm breathing in the kingdom. My steps made in mindfulness, the kingdom is available. If you think the kingdom is available only after your death, after the dissolution of this body, you're wrong. There is no kingdom at that moment. The kingdom is here and now. The kingdom is available. A French author André Gide said, God is happiness. And I would say the kingdom of God is happiness. André Gide said, God is happiness and God is available 24 hours a day. André Gide said that. I say, if God is available 24 hours a day, then His kingdom is available. I'm interested in that kingdom. Because for me, the kingdom is God. If you say to me, God is available 24 hours a day, I say, if God is there 24 hours a day, His kingdom is available 24 hours a day too. And how to get in touch with the kingdom? How to get in touch? How to enjoy the kingdom? Andreji didn't say exactly how. But here in Plum Village, we know exactly how to do it. How to recognize the kingdom, to benefit from every moment in the kingdom. Here, we train ourselves to breathe in the kingdom, to walk in the kingdom, to look in the kingdom. It brings us freedom. We have to drop the past, the regrets, the suffering that belong to the past. We have to drop the fears and insecurities about the future. This is possible to do because we know the present moment is wonderful. It contains all of life. Nirvana, the kingdom of God, the pure land of the Buddha, everything is there in the present moment. Just like the wave looking for water, a wave doesn't have to go anywhere to look for water. Water is the substance of that wave. The wave should stop her searching. She's already water. Water is her nature, her substance. We do the same things. We don't have to search for the kingdom. The kingdom isn't something that exists outside of us. The kingdom is in us. The kingdom is us. You are part of the kingdom of God. That is insight, that is awakening, that brings us joy, happiness. So we're here with the Sangha. Everything we do is to enjoy the kingdom. When we eat, when we breathe, when we walk, when we sit, we need joy. We need happiness. If we need healing, if we need transformation, getting in touch with the kingdom is the most necessary thing to nourish and to heal ourselves. So we have come together as brothers and sisters in the Dharma. We have sharing sessions, Dharma sharing, Dharma discussion. So let us share how we do to be able to get in touch with the wonders of life, how to make peace possible in the present moment, how to calm the pains in our body, how to embrace our suffering, how to transform it. all. We say about these things comes from our own practice, because here we learn how to handle happiness, how to generate happiness. It's available, and we learn how to handle our suffering. There's fear. There's anger. There's worry. There's despair. And our practice is to breathe and to recognize the blocks of suffering that are there. So you use mindfulness to cradle, to lullaby, to calm the pain. And with the insight, the kingdom is there, the wonders of life are there. And it's possible for us to get in touch with those things, to be able to transform and heal ourselves. That's how we transform the suffering in us. The other day, we talked about the energy of the Sangha. You have come with your despair, your fear. The Sangha is here to help you take care of that. You allow yourself to be embraced and carried by the energy of the Sangha. Dear brother, dear sister in the Sangha, here's my pain, here's my suffering. Help me to recognize those sufferings. Help me to embrace that suffering. And you let the Sangha embrace you and carry you. You're there, sitting down, or walking with the Sangha. You allow the Sangha to embrace your suffering. You're no longer a drop of water. We have to abandon ourselves to the river of the Sangha. Give ourselves over. Trust and trust ourselves to the Sangha, and allow the Sangha to embrace us and carry us. And that's what it means when we say, I take refuge in the Sangha. Because in the Sangha, there are those who know how to embrace suffering and transform suffering. In the Sangha, there are people who know how to generate the energy of peace, of compassion. So with that collective energy of peace, mindfulness, compassion, your pain is embraced and begins to transform. We can have faith and trust in the Sangha. Sangham Sharanam Gacchami. I take refuge in the Sangha. I trust in the Sangha. That's my refuge. shall we have a walking meditation under the rain? And we can get in touch with the wonders of life. I wish everyone good practice.